Okay, fine. So we're all going to record this. We're very blessed that Pastora Karen and I, our rough draft of our book went out this week. It's been a interesting challenge of demonic attacks. Special thank yous to the staff who really stepped to the plate, Pastor Matthew, Deborah, Gwen, and Michael, to help us, and Sarah and Pastor Joshua, Apostle Joshua, who helped us get this thing out. It's finally out to the publishers in a rough draft state. So there's still some fine-tuning done. So you see the final copy will be different, but all of you should have gotten a rough draft, or what they call an advanced reader's copy. We'd appreciate it very much if you could, read through it some, give us your first impressions. When you finish it, give us the rest of your impressions so we can see how the feeling is about it, if any changes need to be made.
Well, actually, we prefer to have praise reports and testimonies on your first impressions, and it will bless us to see the immediate reaction, and we really want to get the good reports,
Right.
the praise reports, and even if it's the first chapter or so. If in a day or two you can get that back to us, really blesses us. And after we read the book, we would like to see if you want to give a testimony, because it will help to inspire other people who really may need this and encourage them to see how it could bless them. Now, we really want you to be able to intercede for us and pray this through. Because to us, it's a ministry. To us, it's an outreach. To us, it's to help people to grow in Christ. It's very important. So many people have said to us that they want to hear the voice of God better. So many people have said to us that they feel that they can't squeeze God into their life. They want more time to pray. So many people have said to us they really want to draw closer and overcome those obstacles and challenges. And seems like after the pandemic, it was even harder. And we've heard from other churches and other pastors that many people after the lockdown did not go back to live church when it was opened up, and they stopped live streaming. And then inflation started hitting, and a lot of people had to get second jobs. Some people were laid off. They had to look for jobs. They had to move. They had to go someplace where it was less expensive. A lot of people's lives were disrupted, and many people were discouraged. And so we wanted to bring some encouragement back to the body of Christ. And as we were doing that, that's when the Lord said to us, gather everyone up to pray one for another. And that's when the Lord, said to us, 6:33, gather them at 6:33. And the story of that is we were praying. We usually ask the Lord if we have a question and we want to get a confirmation that we both ask the Holy Spirit. So James wanted us to ask. And then he asked me what I, heard from the Lord to compare answers. And so he's really good at knowing scriptures, but sometimes, he has a recall challenge, what book or chapter it comes from, especially if it's challenged to be tired. And but he can really, he knows well what it says. And so I received from the Lord, I heard a thought in my mind, seek first the kingdom of God. So because we knew God wanted us to wake up early, and we asked him what time, and the answer was seek first the kingdom of God. And I said, okay, well, maybe he's talking about prioritizing, like first thing in the morning. And then what did you receive?
I got the word Matthew 6:33, which is very unusual for me. So that's what confirmed the 6:33 time slot that someone even joined us on, who really appreciate. But with the testimonies and miracles going out, Lord impressed us to write this book. And again, the advanced reader's copy is out there. The response has been fantastic so far. We would like to hear your point because you really know us well. It's a basic book. We had at least one Catholic who's really impressed by it, and Another person's already said he's joined the 633 Club, so it's already going out to people.
Oh, one person had written back. He got his advance reader copy and he read it right away. He said, it is now 1:30 in the morning, and I read that chapter that we should go to bed earlier if we want to spend more quality time with God in the morning. And he said, you're right. He said, I'll see you at 6:33. It was funny. At least, you know, hey, it's reaching some people. And another person said, that it was really good that in this time of diversity, to have a movement that is joining people throughout the United States was really, really empowering. And that was a really positive input. And the best positive testimonies that we get, we're actually going to add to our acknowledgement page in our book, because we want people to hear the hearts of who has touched, and maybe it'll touch them in the same way, to be able to connect with them with the way that you were blessed by it too. So we appreciate your prayers, your intercession. Since we started writing the book, we've got a lot more spiritual attacks. Apostle Joshua said, I guess the devil's not happy with your book coming out, which was kind of a compliment. The devil, only attacks people that he thinks that, he attacks everybody. But when the greater attacks comes, it's like the devil saying, oh, it's going to make an impact in the kingdom of God to bring more people to the light out of the darkness. So to us, it's like a compliment. But it's been very challenging, very challenging. That's why we need your intercession. We need your prayer support to see this through from the beginning, middle, and end. And hopefully it won't end, but it would be the beginning of a launch to bless more people and see more people grow in Christ. So that's why we cherish you. The book is about you. The book is about... all of you who have been faithful to press in to draw closer to God, and the results that we're seeing from your testimonies and your lives and getting up at 6:33 and all the things that you have learned, our publisher said to us, is it duplicatable what you've taught, so that other people can get up and have these experiences? And that's what we've tried to convey, is what you have learned, what we've been teaching, what you're living and experiencing, and then what you're now going to be sharing with others, yourself, so they can receive that experience too. We're really proud of each and every one of you, how we've seen the Lord move through you and using you in wonderful ways. And that we believe that you're going to be touching your community in a greater way because of it. And we're really excited about this, because it's become a nationwide movement that has really started traction that we're seeing. And we'd never thought, we were just doing this just to bless people, mm-hmm. To help people. But God put in our hearts that it was something that everyone in this nation needs, everyone actually in this world needs, is encouragement, especially after COVID, and so we're going to be continuing the series on self unforgiveness. And so Pastor James, you want to start that now, or
may as well
go. Okay,
I think they got the gist.
I think they're moving the slide.
Okay, praise God. So chapter 7, forgive to be set free. Well, the insightful secrets to listening to God is to forgive other people in order to be set free so your blocked prayer can be released. I can't tell you how many people we've had to deal with that are holding on to unforgiveness for some reason. And that is stopping their miracle from happening. It's very clear in the scriptures. And read the next line. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. That, of course, in the Lord's Prayer, or we call it the hour of prayer, but it's right there in the main prayer they say. So they say it, they understand it, but they have to get in their heart and really do the forgiveness part. Now, the question is, are you able to recognize the prompt of the Holy Spirit when he wants you aware of unforgiveness toward an offender, yourself, or someone else? An example of that was Priscilla, who has asked my wife and I to pray for prayer, because every time she went into an event or party, she had feared that when she arrived, people would reject her. The result was she would feel unwelcome and leave crying. There was an occasion when coincidentally we happened to be at the same event she attended. We observed that she sat by herself, did not get up to greet anyone, then she left. When Priscilla asked Karen and I for prayer again, she reported to us that people rejected her at that party. We told her she was unaware that we were there and observed what happened. She did not understand that she needed to reach out to other people to make them aware that she wanted to talk to them. Instead, she was given out of body language, which communicated she was very unapproachable. We helped her realize that a few instances of real rejection had turned into a fear of rejection. So basically what happened was, early in her life, she'd been rejected. As she felt that rejection, she developed an unforgiveness towards people and felt that people were always going to be rejecting her. So therefore, everything about her body says, don't bother me, stay away from me. And people did. Okay? So now, as a result, she perceived new people incorrectly because she assumed they were predisposed. Thank you. To reject her. She was angry with the people who originally rejected her. And she's angry at herself now. Because she developed a fear of rejection. We helped her learn how to make new friends. And most importantly, we ministered to Priscilla the importance of forgiveness, how to forgive others, and forgive herself too. Now, it's forgive others and yourself. Both those are so important.
Wait, okay. Here. So James asked me to share with Priscilla how my mother taught us how to resolve anger. And her following illustration has helped a lot of people get over being angry, and it helped Priscilla as well. My mother shared with James and me this precious nugget of godly wisdom prior to our wedding day. She said one of the reasons that she and my father had such a blessed marriage is because they had made a commitment to each other to do what it says in Ephesians 4, verses 26 through 27, that reads, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." My parents did not go to sleep until they forgave each other of the feelings of anger and offense. Even if the challenge was unresolved, they got rid of the bad feelings and worked on. Hold on just a second, please. And worked on resolution together over time in a loving, peaceable, amicable manner. A friend of ours told us that when his house had been built, there was no hardscape cement for a side patio nor on the driveway, and the contractors came on a Saturday to do that. He stayed inside the house while they worked outside all day. The next morning, he got in his car to go to church, opened the garage door, and in his rearview mirror, he saw a very tall lump of hardened cement in the middle of the driveway. It was blocking his path, so his car could not exit. That lump was about 3 feet tall. He called the contractor and asked him if he could please go to his house right away to clear the driveway and clear it properly. And the contractor had to jackhammer it. If the contractor had scooped up that big pile of cement the afternoon before, when it was still wet, it would have been a 10-minute job to scrape it off the driveway. However, once it set and hardened overnight, it took them over an hour to get the driveway cleared. Then the next day, they needed to return to smooth the driveway out. It caused a lot of problems because they let the sun go down. That is a good parallel for what happens when someone has unforgiveness against someone else that was offended and let anger harden in his or her heart overnight. And sometimes it takes God years before the offended person allows God to spiritually jackhammer their heart to soften it so he can show them his love. If someone says that he is forgiven but won't forget the offense, then that is partial forgiveness, which really isn't forgiveness, since the process was not completed. God chose not to remember our sins after we confessed them, and we received his forgiveness. We showed Priscilla that unforgiveness hinders or blocks prayers and affects our ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We also told her that she should not give place to negative memories of offense, but instead treat the situation as if it never occurred, like a do-over. She needed to let those hurt feelings and painful memories run off her like water off a duck's back and not stick to her. Priscilla learned how to overcome fear and anger. In addition, she finally made some new friends and is very happy now. So you need to forgive yourself to set yourself free. Many people understand what sin is and that they should forgive others. They do not understand that they should also forgive themselves. In addition, they usually ask us for help to identify those sins so they can get set free. And after they started forgiving themselves, we got many praise reports of healing and breakthrough in their lives.
Okay, so what are some of the sins of unforgiveness, self-unforgiveness? Regrets. Many of us regret things we've done in our past, things we didn't accomplish, things we did we shouldn't have done. Okay. Guilt, shame and embarrassment, beating yourself up. I mean, yes, you need to repent of something, but once it's done, forgive yourself. You don't need to beat yourself up any number of times. It doesn't change the fact that you're already forgiven. Having a would have, should have, could have done something differently to avoid a past mistake, or to be in a different position than you are now. Be reminded of recurring incessant thoughts of having failed. Okay. Believing you are a failure. Feeling bad you didn't finish something or didn't follow through to completion. Opposing yourself, self-sabotage. Example of self-sabotage, being late for work. Forgetting to set your alarm for an appointment. Impatience to not do something right the first time, end up spending more time correcting it. Not correcting your mistakes, expecting better results, but still doing the same bad habits, not prioritizing an action plan for resolution. Now, let's stop here on this one here. Most of us have very full schedules today. Most of our schedules, we barely have a few minutes at all. And that, of course, is the basis for 633, to get up early, spend time with God. Now, when you spend time with God, be it 633 or whenever you first get up, seek first the kingdom of God. Set yourself up to seek first the kingdom of God, whatever time that is for you, okay? God's going to tell you what to do. Ask him for an action plan to solve everything you're going through. And the more you do this, the more you'll hear his voice clearly. You'll see everything starting to line up. When you're following God's action plan, Satan has a real tough time throwing a monkey wrench into it.
Okay, so we're going to unmute everybody. So you should be able to unmute yourself now. And we're going to ask you, what faith action plan do you think would be good for yourself or others to help you to stay in a state of forgiveness towards yourself? And if those temptations try to come back, what is a good faith action plan to prevent or avoid those things? Anybody have any ideas? So we're going to brainstorm. Did did that story about the not let the wet cement harden overnight, or our hearts harden with some kind of unforgiveness? Mm-hmm. Did that help anybody, that parallel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In what way, Denise, did that help you?
Well, it's a parallel to the when you are, I'm trying to think of the word, basically when God tells you, when you hear that unction in your heart to do something, to do it and not let it wait, because when you wait, it only becomes harder to do the next day, or it'll take much longer to do. The process is much longer than if you were to do it at that point in time, because a lot of times what God is doing is showing you the path to maybe something else that's going on in your life that you need release. And by not doing it at that point in time, you're only prolonging the release of whatever needs to be released in your life.
Thank you.
That very
was,
good.
That was a very good explanation. Well, we appreciate that. And who else would like to share if that story helped you at all? Can you identify with any of that? Anybody else? Annie?
Yeah, it spoke to me a lot, because you know, it's kind of like when a thought comes to your head, it's easier to change the channel than if you keep dwelling on the thought, like you taught me. And then if you sleep on it, and then you keep thinking about it when you sleep, it's tormenting.
Mm-hmm. So it's better to get rid of it so you can sleep better.
Yeah, and you don't wake up with the thought either.
Yeah, good. Sharon Crane, did you want to share something?
I was just going to say that when I saw that up on the screen there, it said correct your mistakes. That's something I think is very important to do quickly. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't eat on you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good faith action plan, just like we do if we sin. We repent and confess it immediately, and don't let it stay there very long, like overnight, like that big pile of cement.
Yeah, don't stew on it. That's a very good faith action plan. Anybody mm-hmm. else have more suggestions? Those are great suggestions, gals. Anybody else?
I have a couple of things to add to that.
Okay.
I have found that, especially in dealing with unforgiveness stuff, when the evil one starts bringing back memories of stuff, if you can catch it right as it starts and cast down imaginations, using that scripture from 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and then cast out the demon related to that. If you can do that right away, then you can successfully do that. Now, if it comes, let me do a second scenario, and then I'll go back to which kind of ties it together. Okay, so the second one is a thought comes and you start dwelling on it, like Annie and Sharon were talking about. You start dwelling on it. Then it becomes more set. Now it has probably developed into a sin. So now you can't just cast down imaginations. You have to confess it as a sin, go through the repent, renounce, and break scenario. And then what I have found, if the thought keeps coming back, you've got to deal with it right then. And I have had times where, especially with unforgiveness thoughts, that I've had to actually do that for 45 minutes or maybe sometimes an hour, over and over, because the thought keeps coming back. And it's like, no, in the name of Jesus, I cast down that thought. Or if I start dwelling on it again, I say, no, in the name, okay, I confess that as a sin. I renounce every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind that sin. I take away their legal right to have access to my life as a result of that sin. And I break every hold now to that sin, and I cast out all the demons behind it. Comes back again. Do it again. So sometimes you have to be that diligent as a faith action plan to actually get that thought and get the devil, the demon, to quit talking to your mind. And when he becomes convinced that you're not going to listen to him, then he'll shut up. Mm-hmm. Now, I found I only had to do that about 3 or 4 times extended like that. And then it rarely has been a problem where it just keeps coming back or coming back or coming back. I can usually deal with it pretty quick.
Yeah, that's very excellent good point. Advice.
I mean, you know, it says James, resist the devil, he will flee from you. So you're doing that. Mm-hmm. But nobody says it's going to happen instantaneously. You may have to work at it for a while. It may be a battle for a while, you know, and that's okay because you're going to win the battle.
Amen.
But you win the battle. But like
Pastor, you win the battle because you keep fighting and don't quit.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Don't quit, you win. There's no losing here.
Yeah, good advice.
You know,
now, those of you that haven't gotten a healing school yet or you're going through semester one, just bind up. Don't cast out yet. So only the healing school.
Well, I wasn't casting it out of – you can cast – anybody can cast demons. I'm not casting it out of my body or anything. I'm just casting them out of the house or out of the.
We understand that. We're making sure the other people do too.
Yeah. So thanks for clarifying that. You can get them out of the house.
Out of the house.
But don't cast them out of yourself yet till you graduate Healing School 3, unless you're a Healing School 3 graduate. So thanks for clarifying that, Pastor Matthew. And you can take authority anywhere because you are in Christ Jesus to get rid of demons in your home or in the place that you're at. So that's very important to know.
Well, that's an important point. And, you know, Pastor Matthew's my biblical concordance, but I don't know where to find someone. Say, hey, Pastor Matthew, I'm looking for this verse. Oh, it's in 2 Corinthians 9.
He comes from his brain.
But the thing is, we're in a war. Wars have battles. Everybody thinks that battle should last 30 seconds. Well, if your faith is there, it does. But you got to build your faith. Just like he had to build it several times before. Now it happens quickly. He had to show the devil that Pastor Matthew was in charge. Because the devil didn't quit until the devil was convinced Pastor Matthew was in charge. So don't feel because it doesn't happen instantaneously that you're a failure or a loser. It means you got to keep fighting. Okay?
Yeah, but that persistency that Pastor Matthew kept going after. He didn't give up. And pretty soon the demons will give up. So it doesn't matter how many times. It's like a tennis match. The ball comes in your court. Mm-hmm. Hit the ball back. Mm-hmm. You know, hit it back. Just keep getting that demon, you know, casting it out of your house or casting down that imagination and just keep fighting the good fight of faith. And then pretty soon, see, you're coming from a place of victory. It's not that you're going to have victory. You are someone that has victory through Christ Jesus, but you're just going to have to teach the devil a lesson. And you know, we just keep saying, kicking their butts, you know, keep fighting back. Okay. So not letting those things attack you. And it's attacking your thoughts. That's where the battlefield is mostly, in your mind. So that's why it's very important, that scripture, to cast down those imaginations. What does it mean? Change the channel in your mind. Don't dwell on it. Think on what things?
Thoughts that are good.
That's right.
Godly things.
Switch the channel to the good.
The other thing that's important is, if you can, do it immediately. What Pastor Matt said, it was right then. Mm-hmm. Stop what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He follows them. Now, I got your work sometimes. Some of the people around you can't quite do that. Then you got to tail it. But the minute you get a free moment, you need to attack that demon right then. Okay?
Right.
Thanks for the comments, Pastor Matthew. Really appreciate it.
Anybody else want to share? Okay. Praise the Lord. Did that part of that chapter help you or bless you? We're digging deeper. We're still staying on the same subject, so we might have to reiterate what we've gone over before, but then we're going to, it's like you go in the same gold mine through the same entrance, and then you go down to the next level. That's what we're doing, digging deeper and deeper and deeper. Okay? So we're getting to the point where people are going to be so free that whenever condemnation tries to come, guilt tries to come, lying, thoughts try to come, you're going to be so ready to just smack it back. Okay. Yeah. And then you're going to say, no, I choose to think on the word of God, of what the Lord says that I am, who I am in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So remember that part. Anytime you get anything negative, always know that's from the devil. God would not do that to you. And so it's easier to catch the enemy when he's trying to infiltrate and he tries to sneak in. Analyze the thoughts and say, oh no, I'm not going to receive that. Okay. So maybe that might give you a clue to be able to have that self-control. And sometimes people just react right away, and it'll help you to practice where you not react immediately, but think about what's going on and see, is that something that you want to just respond to that person that just said something ugly to you? Or would you rather pause a minute, gather yourself, and respond in a gracious manner instead? I know that takes some practice. I know it takes some time, but we're all going to be working on that, right?
Exactly. Okay. We're all a work in progress.
I just like to mention the affirmation, Isaiah 26:3, has been very powerful for me. God keeps me in perfect peace and my mind is stayed on him.
There you go.
I love that. That's a good one. Thank you. Wonderful.
Helpful to me.
Another comment, if I may. One thing that Penny and I have found very helpful recently, because we kind of discovered this a couple of years ago, is that as you're dealing with issues of hurt and anger and unforgiveness towards people, and you're trying to work through those things and forgive them, including forgiving yourself, you get sometimes in that whole process, you get kind of stirred up. And one of the things that Penny and I have started doing is, you know, we deal with going through the forgiving them and that kind of thing. But then sometimes there's residue of emotion that's left. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've started doing is we loose from our soul, our heart, soul, and mind, whatever that is, anger, frustration, hurt. Some of those residues, we've already dealt with the issue, but there's still some residue emotion. We release that from our soul, heart, soul, and mind. And then we bind to ourselves, to our heart, soul, and mind, the love of God, the peace of God, forgiveness, those kind of things. And we have really found that has just really helped in dealing with those residue emotions that have come up through as we've gone through the processes.
Excellent revelation. Thank you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Penny.
Penny's got something to say.
I guess for me, I think that when people have a challenge with unforgiveness, they don't feel good about themselves. I've been very blessed growing up and surrounded by people where I felt supported and encouraged and helped me to feel secure and feel good about myself. So when something happens, you recognize it right away and you apologize, where sometimes people don't even, it's such ingrained in them, they don't even realize that they're doing such mean things. They don't even realize it. It's so accustomed to it.
Yeah.
They're not accustomed to it. And I just lost my train of thought.
How do you handle that?
I guess the flip dry of that to me is what the Lord showed me is that other people's bad behavior is not my problem. No, so the best way to deal with it, other people's bad behavior is not, it's not my problem. I mean, I pray for them and pray for them and love them but their bad behavior has nothing to do with me. And so I know it's kind of the flip side of what you're saying about forgive, but I've had to forgive myself, but nothing like that was real deep or ingrained or anything long, I guess. I hope that makes sense.
It makes sense. Yeah, we get it.
Thank you for sharing. That was really good. Thank you, Betty. Appreciate it. Okay. And we also pray that next week, Stephen and Donna's audio will be functioning better. Just got a text that they can hear us, praise the Lord, but they couldn't, we couldn't hear them. So we just all agree that it gets fixed immediately in Jesus' name.
Okay. I agree.
The time has flown by, but already Friday is first Friday Zoom again.
Yay.
Last one of the year. Hope you all can make it. Yes, Penny?
I just wanted to mention one thing, if I could, is that I thought it was such a blessing that you had so much support in helping to make the book happen. And I know that not everybody was able to for whatever reason. And so I just would like to bless Pastor Michael for all the support and sacrifice that he made for his wife, for Gwen, because I know that she made tremendous sacrifice and time, a lot of her time, you know, knowing that she has a husband to have at home. And so I just wanted to remember her and to bless her for that, because I know that means a lot to Gwen. Yeah, I'm sure to have that support.
Yeah, Michael supported very well. We're very, very grateful to all the staff who supported, and they were all there for whatever they could do. And Penny, who supported Matthew, she helped us and so forth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 11 hours. Thank you, Penny.
The last minute thing. By the way, Pastor Matthew, I know this is late, but could you please review this? Yeah, because he's got that special eye for certain things. And it's we appreciate it very much, all of you who stepped up.
Yeah, we had to pull some off.
There's no small part in this. Okay. Everybody did everything they could do. And we could see God, just his hand was on this thing to get this project done. We were running into some timeline challenges, and everybody stepped to the plate. And even those who weren't directly involved did support work. You know, Penny, Michael did more support work, is right there. And we thank you guys that very, very much, because that's very important.
Yeah, we got behind because there were more urgent emergency ministry things that we've ever seen in the middle of writing the book. Now, that was not coincidental. The devil wanted to really hinder us. But you know what? The team stepped up to the plate. God gave us grace. God helped us. It was just amazing how our brains could still work in the middle of the night after 48 hours of not sleeping. So, you know, our first rough draft was very rough. Of course, we wouldn't put that out in the public. You know, it needs to be excellent. And the Lord provided, because we did not want it to go out unless it was, of course, the standard by which the Lord would be, you know, represented, and has to be done well. So we have the best team, the best staff we've seen in the world. And I can't thank you guys enough for your support, your hours of service, your labor, Gwen, Deborah as well. Apostle Joshua and Pastora Sarah were supportive and helped in many ways. And Apostle Joshua said, there's no doubt that your book is going to go worldwide. And I just received that prophecy. Thank you, Jesus. You know, so we were very blessed. And Pastor Matthew said, I'm enjoying your book. And I went, hooray. Thank you, Jesus. And we we've had people that have read the book and they can't put it down. They're one's on vacation in Mexico and you know, started picking the book up, and it's so exciting to that person. And I'm like, wow, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who we hadn't seen in like 15 years.
Yeah.
That wanted a copy of the book, you know, and it's just rekindled some relationships, which is one, it's a wonderful thing, but some of them, it was at the right place at the right time, and they needed it then. They needed to hear that ministry from what God had us put in the book, because it's what God taught us. And it was so well worth to see that the efforts are reaching people who are so grateful they got that book this week, because it was right on time for what they needed and where they're at. So this has been a kingdom work. This has been something that is eternally changing their life. And I'm just humbled that God wants to use us to do that. And it's because of all of you that God is using you to help us. We're all reaching them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of people in this world today that are hurting, and yeah, they need the Lord, and they need how, like you said, to forgive themselves, to love themselves, so they can love others.
Amen.
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 Okay, great. Well, we're running a little behind time, but we can do communion. Peter's offered to do the body, and Pastor Matthew, if you honor us by doing the blood tonight, please.
Sure.
Great. Okay, let's all do a USP, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all
unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1 9.
According to
1 John 1
9. Peter.
Okay. So go ahead and pick up your communion bread. Paul told the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So, Jesus, we receive this bread, your body, as we partake now. Amen.
And we thank you, Father, for the cup, this cup of blessing. We thank you that this is the cup of the new covenant, the new an everlasting covenant. We thank you, Father, that we have a covenant with you. You did your part when you sent Jesus, and he fulfilled everything that you had said he would do, and he became our covenant partner as he shed his blood. So we thank you that every promise, every blessing, every benefit of the new covenant is ours in Christ Jesus. We have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we thank you, Father, that as we take this cup, we are recognizing and receiving the covenant. And our part of the covenant, Father, is to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to you. We thank you as we take now the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name.
May it grant and receive, and we've been healed by stripes of Jesus.
Wow, great. Thank you all for coming today.
Do you want to pick communion table for next week?
So, who would like to do communion next week?
Oh, we don't want to forget that Annie did a lot of work on this book, too, and still did a lot of stuff.
I apologize, Annie, for
We're still challenged to be tired from lack of sleep. So we didn't. Annie is also part of our staff and she's our ministry assistant. So in fact, Charlie needs to also be recognized as one of the spouses that really stepped up to the plate to support and allow her to spend countless hours. And she was up till 2:30 in the morning as well. And many, many hours get this out to everybody and all the, she also helped with editing and has been a vital part of this work as well. So Annie, we didn't want to forget you. Sorry.
But my deepest apologies for not mentioning her, please forgive me.
Yeah. You're not left out. Not by, we're just still kind of waking up. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. So we did want to do that acknowledgement.
Goodness gracious.
Yes.
Okay. Nick, are you able to do communion next week? Still there, Nick?
I suppose so.
You might well. Okay.
You might be on a little break.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Denise and Susan, would you two do communion next week?
Sure.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Susan, you okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. We'll have Denise do the body and Susan do the blood then.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Anything else for tonight, dear?
Okay. No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, blessings to all of you. Thank you. Good night. So it'll be Friday night on First Friday Zoom. And have a great day tomorrow and rest of tonight.
Yeah, if you somehow didn't get a copy to your email, if your email had changed or somehow it just didn't get to you, please notify us. It should say advanced reader copy from James and Karen Mays at awake633.com. And those of you that you can, you want to do some praise reports for your initial impressions, in the next couple of days, the sooner the better would be very appreciated. Okay.
Okay.
And
Penny and I will be staying after if anybody wants to also stay after for prayer. We're here to pray for you.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's very important, you guys. Those of you that need to stay after, remember it's all private. And if there's more than one person, it is in the breakout room. So it always remains confidential amongst the staff. But and so that, you don't have to worry about it's not a group setting for those of you that haven't stayed after previously. Okay. So love you guys. And we'll sign off. And Pastor Matthew and Penny will stay on. Love you guys. Good night.
Love you.
Love you. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh, I have to.
Karen, it was funny. At one point, you were looking over this way while you were looking at me.
Okay, well,
I don't think Nick, are you there still?
Nick might have forgotten to sign off.
I think Nick, remember, he gets up all dark.
Maybe he went to sleep.
I think he might have gone to sleep. Okay, love you guys.
Bye. Okay.
Bye, good night.
Good night.
Good comments, Matthew.
You're welcome.